Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. This being the last Sunday in August, everyone is invited to our monthly fellowship luncheon directly following the morning worship service. Following our fellowship luncheon, the World Soccer Championship will be played right here on our soccer field, and the former professional World Cup soccer star, Gabriel Otero, will be officiating. So we look forward to that. We will be conducting our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to attend that service. There will be no further activities this afternoon following the service at Pacific Hills. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine. This coming Wednesday, he will be speaking on what the scriptures teach about the question, who is the Holy Spirit? We will have our quarterly congregational business meeting on Sunday, September 8th, directly following the morning worship service, and all are encouraged to attend. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and let us begin our worship now with hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 381, Is Your All on the Altar?
Thank you.
Please stand now as we sing hymn number 394, I Surrender All.
Before prayer, I want to bring greetings to you from one of the church members who was a founder, Brother Sherwood. He is confined to his home with a spine cancer and a wheelchair, and Pastor will visit with him. He lives in Grass Valley, about Grass Valley. So Tuesday, Pastor will not be in the office, but will travel to Grass Valley to sit down and chat with our brother. He's in good spirit and remember all of us. He was my neighbor. And he's one of the men that came to my home 20 years ago to start the church together with Brother Rayleigh. And so we thank the Lord for the strength at this moment. And may I give you just a brief report of Miriam. She is recovering slowly, gained 4 pounds already, no more stomach problems and so on. And looks like everything is doing well. The sarcoidosis disease is stopped. I guess the doctors get confused with these other problems and got the benefit of the pulmonary and respiratory tract open. And so she's under control every week, and Raquel is working hard and going to be 2 more weeks over there after school starts to see that Miriam can handle the situation well. So I thank you for your prayers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we are more than grateful that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We are, O God, blessed by the opportunity to say good things about the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. And we pray, God, that these experiences today, being here at Bethel Baptist Church, will be an experience that will thrill our heart. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we belong to one another, and we, Lord, love to say good things about you. So, Father, bless the choir, as the choir is going to bless your name. Bless the reading of God's word, as our brother is going to once again complete the reading on those holy 10 words of God to Moses that we know as the 10 Commandments. And then, Father, as I bring to you the attention of your people, the last commandment, you shall not. Oh, Father, help us to understand it. And by your power, help us to apply it to our life to the fullest extent. We thank you, Lord, for those members who took a break and they are in vacation still. And we pray that you bless them wherever they are. And that they too may go to church wherever they are, and they enjoy the presence of God in other places around the world. We thank you, Father, for our missionaries who are active in the ministry. For our brother Fred and Carol Lewis, they try to move from Ukraine into Siberia with all the expenses and the difficulties of the moving. For Carol and Ruth Knott, as they are closing their tour in America and go back to Spain, this time to the city of Seville. But Eusebio and Marisa Perez, are there as they minister in Benalmadena in Spain. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge in times of crisis. For Ruben and Irene Zagert, as they develop their ministry, Spanish ministry, strong in Lodi, California. For the Christian Athletic Association in the city of San Jose. For Martha Peretti, as she ministered to the drug addict center. And for Daniel Lacey, as he prepared again to leave for Denver and to minister there and the race this coming week. And so, Father, we have these people who are a part of our church, the extension of our church, being a blessing in different ways with their gift, working to do only one thing, to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom to many people as possible. And Father, we are grateful for the broadcast over KKNC and KKXX. We are grateful for the internet broadcast and KKMC. We are grateful for the tape ministry that reaches so many homes. And we pray that as people listen to us, they will know that they have been with the Lord Jesus. And as a result of that, their life will change and they will share their joy with others. We thank you, Father, for being a God of mercy and a God of grace, a God that even said in the scripture, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day in which people can embrace Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for delaying your coming so that more people could come into the kingdom of God. And now, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver as we support the ministry here at Bethel Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we read your word today, we are reminded of the scripture that tells us that we already have every blessing in Christ. We know that we only have temporary possession of the things of this world, and they have little value when compared to the incomparable blessings that we have in Christ. We thank you for his person and work and for your great salvation, adopting us into your family. We pray for the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to allow us and to enable us to walk worthy of our calling. We pray for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero. We pray that you would bless him and his words as he comes to expose your word. Give us understanding that we may be obedient to your word as our teacher explains it. Open the eyes and the ears of those listening here and on the radio and internet who are still in unbelief, that they may also receive the great blessings through faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And it is with a great joy that we come to the very last of the Ten Commandments, of the Ten Words of God into Moses. As I look into the record, on the month of June, we started a series of the studies of the Ten Commandments of the Ten Words of Moses. Now, these commandments are found in the book of Exodus and also for the second time in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the book of Exodus is the second major book of the Old Testament and follows on the heels of the book of history, which is the book of Genesis, who gave us the beginning of everything. And also the book of Genesis relate to us the starts of every action in life and reveal to us the great plan for that beautiful nation of Israel. Now, in the book of Exodus, we are given the account of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. As you know, there were 430 years, or 400 years, depend where you take the beginning, where these people were there in Egypt. And then the book of Exodus give us the wandering, the traveling of Israel into the desert. And as you know, they spent 40 years for not taking the indication of God to cross the line. They were a little bit stubborn, and that happened to all of us. When we are stubborn with God's word, then God delays his blessing to us. Now, in chapter 20, we have the verbal inspiration, what is called in theology. God reveals verbally 10 words or 10 commandments of he writes the constitution of the nation of Israel. And after the 10 commandments were given in Mount Sinai, then Israel became from a people a nation. And this is the first time then that after Exodus 20 we can call the nation of Israel. Before were the people of Israel. The more I study the 10 commandments, the more I am convinced they are absolutely fundamental to every concept of righteousness that the scripture talks about, especially on the book of Romans. And you study the book of Romans in Sunday school. And the book of Romans is based, Paul writes the book of Romans based on that remarkable sharpness of the Ten Commandments given to Israel. Now, here is what we study. Let's see if you remember. The first commandment was in Exodus 20, verse 2 and verse 3, who is your God? And for the first time, the word God Elohim and the word Jehovah are together, giving God the name of God. The second commandment in chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 4 to 6, is reveal how to worship God. You should not bring images. You should not do anything else. You should not have any pictures. You should not have anything in heaven, in earth, under the earth. Nothing can picture God. God is in his spirit, said the Bible, and you shall worship God in his spirit and in truth. Then in chapter 20, verse 7, we have a third commandment, and is I entitled guardian of his reputation. Don't take the name of God in vain. Then the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11, talks about worshiping on his day, and I entitled that Saturday or Sunday. Now, these are the four commandments that are set up in such a way that just focus your attention on God. Who is God? What I should do now that I know who is God? And then how careful I should be about my God, and then also when I should worship God. Now follows on these four commandments, six more commandments that relates to the relationship of an individual to each other, how I relate in society. And remember verse 12, the first commandment in that area, or commandment number five, is preserving our homes. The home is the most important part of society. It is the part that Satan attacks more. I was reviewing statistics over the Congress, over the Library of the Congress in the United States. And at this time in America, there are more divorced in the so-called Christian families than in the world there are no Christians. And that tells you how Satan attacks the life of Christians. So preserving our homes is the decree. The sixth commandment is the sacredness of life. You should not murder anybody, remember? And the seventh commandment has to do with the permanency of matrimony. God has created matrimony, not for a temporary social place in your life, but as a permanent part of your life. And then comes what I use the word sentinel or watchful. The eighth commandment in verse 15, sentinel of our properties. And I remember I talk about spiritual properties, physical properties, and so on. And then last Sunday in verse 16, we talk about a sentinel of our tongue, how important it is not to use false words against anybody, because that is a product of Satan working in your heart. Now we come to the end, verse 17, and I want to read it again. Verse 17, this is what I call a sentinel of our desires, or what I will call controlling your desires, be on the top of your desires. Look at what God says. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbors. Now remember, these animals represent power. The ox represent labor, so you should not cover your neighbor's pickup. Who will say that way? All right, I don't have an idea what that ox means. All right, now this is a very strong commandment that in simple words is saying to us, you have no right whatsoever to desire somebody else's things. And the word neighbors imply everybody around you. You should not desire anything that is not yours. That's what the commandment is saying. Is this a strong commandment? I think it's the strongest commandment written. And I'm going to show you why. I ask myself, rather than dealing theologically about this commandment, I said, I'm going to deal with the commandment for real, just on the ground. Rather than talking about high theology and going into long words and trying to explain to you all complicated things, let's talk right on the floor. Let's talk our language, because it's important, especially for the young people and for all of us, include the pastor. The first question I ask the commandment is, because the Bible said, thou shalt not covet. The word covet is the word desire. Thou shalt not desire. So I ask my question, where my desires come from? Where my desires come from? And so again, I went into the Library of the Congress to find out if some good, smart person will help me to understand where the desires come from. A good part of psychology, 35%, believes the environment brings you an attraction to your desire. That's where they come from. That's what brings you into desires. And certainly environments attract certain things. Some others believe inheritance. Your family style from four or five or six generations behind you have this particular way of desiring things, and you inherit them. And in a certain way, it is absolutely true. We have a gene that have the personalities and the abilities of something like that. And somebody else believe that is the place where you live. In other words, the society that you are growing up that teaches you to want desires. And in America, is certainly some truth. You turn on the TV and they have all kinds of things for you, available for you, and especially for the young people. That's true. But that is not the root of the problem. I tell you, we're talking about so much about missiles, and all the young people know about missiles and things. To me, desires are like a bunch of missiles inside you. Let me show you. Let's go to Matthew's chapter 15. And all the things that comes out of us comes from a place in ourselves. And the Bible teaches that it's not from outside. It's not the exterior that really works in you. Matthew 15, page 571, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. And I'm going to start reading from verse 18 to 21. And Jesus is correcting certain things and giving the disciples an understanding where bad things come from. The Bible says in Matthew, in chapter 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, that's desiring your neighbor's wife, fornication, death, stealing something that is not yours, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. These are the things that really corrupt you. But to eat with unwashed hands defile not. See, the Pharisees have created rules and regulations, like the church today. Each church has their rules and regulations addition to the Bible. And one of the rules of regulation is you have to wash your hands before eat. Now, that's a good rule. But if you don't wash your hand before eating, they thought you were condemned. And God is saying clearly in the scripture, condemnation doesn't come by something outside. Comes from within the man. And clearly, Jesus is saying, within you, there is a missile. There is a seed. There is an atom. There is a part of it, like a molecular system, right inside your heart, and is ready to explode there. It's ready to launch. And it's inside there. And can produce murder. No one of us can say, I will not kill. No one of us. Given a particular circumstances, you will kill. if that's where the trigger heart will produce. So all of us have something inherent in our being. You cannot bisect a body and find it because it's in your being. It's inside you. And that inside you has the potential to explode, to launch. America was disturbed because they found, I guess, 4 or 5 missiles unrecorded in New Mexico. Now we know that the missiles are in New Mexico. And they were really disturbed that there were 4 missiles unrecorded in the record of the central control of the American power for missiles. And they want every missile under control so that they know when to launch it and for what purpose. And this is something like that. You have some missiles that you have inside that they are not under control, so far as Jesus said, because they can explode and they can go. But God said, thou shalt not use that missile of desire which is in your heart for the wrong purpose. But the missile will go in the trigger of a moment. Now then, my second question to the commandment is, if I'm loaded like that, and God said, you should not do this, but I'm loaded inside with the potential to violate that commandment any moment, in a big way, how, what's the mechanism that triggered the missile? I found it in James chapter 1. If you go to James chapter 1, you find the mechanism, that's in page 711, if you're using our Bible, page 711, James chapter 1, from verse 13 on, there is an explanation of that mechanism, how the mechanism operate, how the mechanism develop. What are the elements that can trigger that missile and get us in violation of the commandment? We read in James chapter 1 and in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, when he go with that missile inside and develop the wrong thing, I am tempted of God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So no excuses, brothers and sisters. Verse 13 said that we have no excuse. We cannot say, oh, God made me do it. Oh, I commit adultery because God brought these women into my life, and I did this because, you know, I can't help it. God did this for me. No, you can't do that because God will not commit adultery, so he will not tempt anybody to commit adultery. I disobeyed my father because he was violating God's word, and God's word said that I should disobey him. No, you cannot do that, because God will never, if God said, children, obey your parents, he will give you no condition. He will say, children, obey your parents. And he will never put the desire in you to disobey your parents. See, James is going to reveal to us the mechanism and how to, you know, you can go to the Library of the Congress and find the mechanism and how America will launch a missile until a certain point. And there are complicated border controls in 3 parts of the United States that need to be in coordination for that. And they reveal to you certain things, not all the things. And the same thing happened in our heart. What makes me do what I should not do? Look at here, verse 14. But every man, that's a mean masculine, the word is anthropos, every mankind is tempted, yield himself to temptation, when he's thrown away of his own desire and enticed. In other words, that little missile, that little seed within you, will cry to do that which is, you know, wrong if you're a Christian. But we'll cry. And whatever you do, don't blame anybody, blame yourselves at verse 14. It's you who wants that. It's you who want to do that, and badly. But still, how that work? Well, first, you got a burning desire, a monumental burning desire that goes beyond everything else. And then look at verse 15. Then when the desire had been conceived, when now it's open and the doors of the missile is open, because missiles are in a covered place, when the doors are open, they're ready to go. And look at what they said. When the desire, verse 15, had been conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Brings forth a transgression of the law. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. So how do you conceive a desire? They said, then when the desire had been conceived, you know, when you think through, you bring the desire as a burning fire, and your brain is still vibrating now. The brain is the one who push it and vibrating and analyzing everything. And the brain is analyzing all your desires, and you bring that desire, and the brain is analyzing that desire. But then when you conceive, when you surrender your brain to the desire, and you start analyzing sin, you're going to launch the missile. Never deal with sin in an analytical way. Sin is sin, period. Never is justifiable before God. Oh, I did this because the circumstances. There is no, the court of God is not the court of the United States of America, where somebody can shut somebody and get away with it. You can. Sin is sin. And when our desire is conceived and move on and a splash over us, it goes into your brain. And when you analyze sin, you are taken. And at any moment, the missile can go. And look at what happened, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make a mistake. The end of verse 15 said, when it is finished, when it's conceived, bring forth only one thing, death, a separation from God, because you have done something that is wrong. That's why I said, thou shalt not desire. The most powerful commandment. We memorize it, we repeat it, but it's powerful. And each of us work in a different way. How they control you, the burning desire of your heart goes into your brain, and you no longer think by yourself. You think how to justify what is wrong. And when you are sure that you can justify it, you launch it and you blow up yourself. Now, you say, Pastor, hold it. I'm a very intellectual person. And what part of my brain is the desire, that desire of me, that seed of me, what part of my brain is using to block me? Because I'm a very intellectual man. I'm a very intellectual person. I'm a self-controlled individual. Have you heard people say, I'm self-controlled? I know a man who told me one time in a party, he said, I drink because I know when to stop. And I saw him at the end of the party drunk. Nobody knows when to stop. Sin doesn't have limits until they destroy you altogether. What part of my brain is using? The left, the right, the center, the right. They use three parts of my brain. And they are explained for us in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. Let's go over there. Look at how beautiful. Three parts of my brain are being used to destroy me. Genesis chapter 3. I don't have to give you the pages. Page 2, just the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. I want to read verse 6. And there are three verbs over there. They are the three parts of your brain that God, that Satan will use to destroy you, to really block you off. So how can this sin control me? What kind of a mechanism the sin will use to blind my mind to such a degree that I will yield and launch myself into an entire abomination before God? Here it is. Let me read the text. Genesis 3, verse 6. I read it, and you think for yourself which verbs God is talking about. Remember, these are the temptation that Satan brings to the women to be powerful, to desire anything you want to. Look at verse 5. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God. Well, that's a big desire. You can do anything you want to. And people tell me sometimes, in America we're free, we can do anything we want to. That's not freedom, really. Look in verse 6. Here's how that desire works in your mind. And when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant or desirable to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Do you saw the three verse? Here are three verbs that little seed of power in you will use in your brain to knock you down and to violate God's commandment. The first verb is saw, and when the women saw, that's the look. That's the look. I tell you, look can kill you. That is the look. When you saw something, you go window shopping and say, no, I don't want to buy anything. And you go window shopping, suddenly you see something. Whoa, now you see that. Well, Raquel's not here. I'm going to use this example also. You're walking in a mall or someplace, and you're indifferent. You're a man, and you're indifferent. You know you're married. Your life is satisfied. And here comes a woman built like a Coca-Cola bottle, and you say, ooh! Some people do that. That's exactly the desire that will cause you. When you look at it, how many times you bought something you don't need it? Because you look on it. I did. Because you look on it. Like I said, why we have two? Well, I don't know. I don't know. You know, women are more practical than men. We are a little bit unpractical in that area. But Raquel went through the garage and said, you have two things here. So this one has the handle green and the other had the handle brown. And one day I like the brown and the other the green. Stupid things. So when the women saw, look, be careful. These are beautiful eyes that God gave you. Beautiful eyes. Each one of you have beautiful eyes that God gave you. But eyes bring signals into the nerve of the brain. And now the brain is analyzing. And if the brain doesn't have control from other sources than the desires of that atom that was going to blow, wow. 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 What is the next verb? Verse 6, and the women saw, look, the tree was good for food, and it was desirable. Sin is never ugly in the form. It's always pleasant outside. Have you ever eat an apple that was good outside and inside was wrong or something like that? That's sin. That is sin. It always looks good. And then when we go from look to want, I want this. Now the brain is really, really working into this. I want this. I need this. Oh, yeah, this is it. And you look on it, and it's just so pleasant and so beautiful. Then what happened? The Bible said that she saw something that was desirable. And then once you go through these two steps, the third one followed, she took. Get your hands on the stuff. The action comes into being and it's done. And so when you look into the commandment that God has given us in Exodus and said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant, nor his maidservants, and so on. That's very important. Very important. And it's not just a simple statement. It's a statement complicated that deals with the very being of each individual. Each individual. It's just tremendous. Tremendous. It's just beyond comprehension. Because it's out of your control, people said. No, it's what happened is it's in your control. What happened is the desire that is that thing, place in your being developed through your brain, and your brain is analyzing in this way. I look, I desire, and I take. And when those three steps are done, then you are gone, and you are really gone. And commit adultery and take something that is not yours and whatever. Every individual is subject to that. Then you said, well, Pastor, this is very serious. What about us Christians? What is it that we can do about it? Well, psychiatry tried to do something about it. Psychology tried to do something about it and retrain people to think and so do. But remember, it's not the thinking, it's the seed that produces the whole thing. It is not the you lack analysis in your brain. It is the heart that is producing these evil things. And so we need a deeper cure than just a drug to sleep your mind. We need a deeper cure. Thank God we have it. I thought, how would I control this in my life? Here's the answer. You know it. Is in Matthew's gospel in chapter 6. Go to chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel, page 564. And I think it's the very last verse, verse 33, the last verse of 34. So 33, that will give us the answer to this. The answer. Matthew's chapter 6. In verse 33, page 564, the Bible says, but seek ye first. And when the Bible says first, means first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these desires shall be added unto you. Psalm 37 said, God is pleased to give the desires of your heart. God is pleased to give you the desires of your heart. But the most important part is that we need to seek God first. So let's think for a moment. You are single, and you desire to be married, and that's an honorable desire. That's your case. There are people who are single and do not desire to be married, and that's also honorable. But you desire to be married. You are a man or you're a woman. And the Bible have a little condition for marriage. The Bible doesn't relate to races. You have to, if you're Japanese, you have to marry a Japanese. If you are German, you have to marry a German. The Bible doesn't relate to that. We are human beings. We are all created equal in the image of God, and we are glorious before his presence. But the Bible had one condition. And so if you said, I really like to be married, where should I be looking in the Bible? Well, you should look in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, in 2 Corinthians. And the Bible tell you in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what really you should be looking for. That doesn't give you the details of a lady or anything like that, but give you an inside condition. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believe with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols and so on? And so you look into that, and if you are a Christian, if you have the kingdom of God and you seek ye first the kingdom of God, if the kingdom of God is in you and you are a single for your single life, either you keep yourself single as Matthew 19:12 say it for the glory of God, or you marry, but you marry according to God's rules. God doesn't care if you marry a girl with blue eyes or brown eyes. My wife always tells me, I don't know why. Why? So what? Your mother had such glorious light blue eyes, and blonde hair from northern Italy, and the two sons are dark hair and brown eyes. That's the way you marry. There's no one to change. My eyes aren't going to change. You told me I have beautiful eyes, by the way. So, you know. See, the Bible doesn't give you the details. Is it tall, short, or whatever? I remember when I date Raquel, the argument of her life was that was too tall and it was too short. So finally, I made an appointment with her mother and I said, now I have an idea. You talk in your home. Her mother was shorter. So you talk in your home about how beautiful our tall man, and then finally we're going to get it. I get all the help I can. It took 7 years to get it. But we were believers. And we met at church, by the way. That was our dating. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And we met always in the presence of her parents. And I visited for dinner 3 times a week because they were close to my house. I remember Raquel's father said, here's a boy again. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Will eliminate your problem. You're married. And you have difficulties. Look in the Bible. Ephesians 5 tells you all the details and general words of how to give your marriage a lift. You're at work and you have an impossible boss, like I did when I used to work in the world. Well, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, you work until the Lord Jesus Christ and forget about the other. In other words, when you seek first the kingdom of God, look in possessions. The Bible said that if you have a roof and you have food, you have to be happy about it, regardless of the house or the car, whatever you have. It's just remarkable. The kingdom of God will help you to control yourself. And God will give you the desires of your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now tell me, do you have the kingdom of God in your life? In order to have the kingdom of God in your life, you need to have the king. Without the king, there is no kingdom. And the king is the Lord Jesus. That wonderful Jewish boy, the son of a carpenter, the Son of God, who died on Calvary cross to demonstrate his kingdom. Remember on the cross, the sign in three languages? Jesus, the King of the Jew. And once you have the Lord Jesus, then you have the potential to obey the last commandment. I guarantee this, without the Lord Jesus, you have no way, not even near to obey the last commandment. And having the Lord Jesus is very difficult sometimes for us to obey the last commandment. Imagine not having the Lord Jesus, because it has to do with our inward life. And so now you learn an extra lesson from this commandment, and it's this. God is interested not in your outward appearance, not in your outward life, but is interested in your inward life. Some of you wear suit like me, and some of you have just a shirt and so on. God doesn't give you, when you go to church, you have to dress in this way, the other, and the other. But God gave you direction how your heart need to be controlled. Need to be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Need to be controlled by Christ the King. And when you submit every desire to the King, that takes care of everything. That takes care of everything. You know, that will be against all society and even against people who are Christians. When I told somebody that I date in the presence of Raquel's parents and in the church with the people, they told me, oh, you suffer a lot. I never knew that I never suffered. I was sitting in church with my girl. I feel like a $1 million man. We went places where their parents went. We enjoy a tremendous fellowship with the family. I get to know the family, after all. And, you marry a woman, you marry the whole family. And we get to be great friends. And you know, Gaspar and Naomi are great friends with us because we just grew under. They were just married. And Joe, we grow with them, too. And we got the fellowship of family relationship. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. So people say, well, that's in the Old Testament. No, it's everywhere. Children, young people, listen to your parents. That's God's desire. Church of God, when we function as a church, all the temptations are great. We can increase the number of membership if we do this or we do the other, or we do this or we do the other. But you know, we have to do what God said. And what God said is to preach the gospel as faithful as we can, so that you can inherit and receive that beautiful presence of the kingdom of God that will control the missile launching place. And those missiles who God give you, those desires who are so beautiful that God give you to enhance your life when they are under the control of God, makes you beautiful and wonderful in all circumstances. May God give us strength and wisdom to seek Him first and then to enjoy what He has given us. We don't have even to worry, about thou shalt not. If we say, yes, God, we will do what you say. Thank you, Father, that in this beautiful commandment, you make us aware that we are in thee. We are in thee in difficulties if we disobey you. But Father, sometimes we are unaware and we desire things that we don't go through the filter of the kingdom of God. We go through our humanity. And because we do that, then we fail. I thank you, Father, that when we fail, we have a God of mercy and a God of grace. The Bible said the righteous shall fall 7 times and shall raise up. But help us to be wise. Help us to let the kingdom of God be in the center of our life. So as the verse said, let's seek first the kingdom of God and let all the desires be channeled through the kingdom of God. And we're going to be careful to give you the glory and the honor when everything is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, please, for the benediction. We thank the Lord for the provision of a family who praise the Lord with their voices. Father, we are grateful today that we conclude the studies of the Ten Commandments. We are grateful that you gave the nation of Israel the holy constitution, the wonderful constitution that guides our life and make us holy. We pray, God, that through the kingdom of God, you will control us and that we will exhibit around our neighborhood and our work, wherever we go, the kingdom of God that is within us. Lord, we confess to you that many times we fail. We confess to you that many times we go in our own way. Forgive us, O God, and in mercy and in grace, restore our life that we may walk with you once and for all, seeking you first. Thank you for what you're going to do with us. Bless us, protect our family, protect those, Lord, that are in going to college. For Candace, this is the first week out of their home, and for Amy, who soon will be in college, protect them and gave them remembrance of these commandments so that they too may follow you and walk with you. Thank you for what you're going to do with us. In Jesus' name, amen.